بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the one who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In these lessons, in this series, we begin a new series going through some of the most basic books of Aqeedah. And they are الأصول الثلاثة, the three fundamental principles, القواعد الأربعة, the four fundamental principles, الأصول الستة, the six fundamental principles, and نواقض الإسلام, matters which invalidate a person's Islam. And all these four treaties were authored by الإمام المجدد محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله. And these treaties, they are blessed in that they are very concise for a person to understand. And previously we've gone through these same treaties, but in detail. And in these series of lessons, inshallah, we're going to go through each lesson, but just a synopsis of the lesson, or of the treaties, a breakdown, and then to extract some benefits from them. Before we start with the first treatise, which is Al-Usulu Thalatha, the three fundamental principles, we need to know generally what are these treaties about. And all four of them, they are about At-Tawheed. So all four treaties, they are centered around explaining At-Tawheed and the opposite of At-Tawheed. And the first thing we need to study, and it's on the inside of your workbook, is why is it important for us to study At-Tawheed? This is the first question. Why is it important for us as Muslims to know about Tawheed and to study At-Tawheed? And since you brothers have been studying for a while, and we all say that we're from the people of Tawheed, from the people of Hadith inshaAllah, then you should know the answer. Why is it that we should study At-Tawheed? So we'll start with the person on the right hand side. One reason why it's important to study or know At-Tawheed.
Because we've been commanded to know before we are.
So the first reason is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He commanded us to know At-Tawheed. Before you do your actions, you have to know At-Tawheed. Sahal. Gone, Muhammad. Naam, because Tawheed is an avenue for us to become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Abu Muhammad. Because we were created for At-Tawheed. The reason why Allah created us is to learn and study and understand At-Tawheed. Go on, Shiraz.
Because the only sin which is not forgivable is the shirk, which is the opposite of Tawheed.
So without knowing Tawheed, you cannot know a shirk. And shirk is that sin which is not forgiven. Harun? No. Ismail? No. Next. Who's hiding behind you, Shiraz? Doubt. Huh?
To worship Allah.
Naam. Because the first obligation of a person is to know Allah. Without knowing Allah, and this is At-Tawheed, how can a person worship Him?
How to single Allah.
Tawheed is, by knowing Tawheed, you understand how to worship Allah, how to single Him out. Nadeem. Saf. Sultan?
Has been said already.
Zain? Okay, any other reasons why we should study At-Tawheed? Anybody else? Tafadhal.
Because this is the reason why Allah sent the messengers.
Naam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent every single messenger to teach At-Tawheed. Anything else, Junaid?
To avoid associating parties with
Allah. Naam. How can a person avoid a shirk if he doesn't know At-Tawheed? And many other reasons. So we go through some of them. In summary, first of all, as the brothers have mentioned, because Allah created us for At-Tawheed. This is the first reason, and there's space to write all of this down. The first reason why we study and learn and implement Tawheed is because Allah created us for At-Tawheed. And the evidence for this is the saying of Allah, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah said, I did not create jinn nor mankind except for my ibadah. And the meaning of ibadah is At-Tawheed. So this ayah, وَمَا in Surah Al-Dhariyat, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I did not create jinn nor man can accept that they should worship me. Ibn Abbas said, Ya'budun ay yuwahidun. That the meaning of Ya'budun is yuwahidun, is tawheed. This is why Allah created us. Another reason, which wasn't mentioned, is because Allah created Jannah for the people of tawheed. Allah only created Jannah for the people of tawheed. So if you want Jannah and you want to be from the people of Jannah, then you have to understand at-tawheed. Third reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only created Jahannam, na'udhu billah, for those people who oppose At-Tawheed, either people of Ash-Shirk. So if you don't understand At-Tawheed and you don't understand Ash-Shirk, then how will you enter into Jannah and how will you stay away from the fire? Also, another reason which wasn't mentioned, because every single ayah in the Quran is about At-Tawheed. Every single ayah in the Quran is about At-Tawheed. And this was mentioned by Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, if my memory is correct, in his book Al-Fawaid. He mentioned how every single ayah of the Quran is regarding At-Tawheed. How is this? So the side benefit, he said, if you take all of the ayat of the Quran, you can divide them up into five categories. Every single ayah in the Quran, it can be entered into one of the five categories. The first category is Allah ordering with At-Tawheed. So when Allah said, وَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ, worship Allah, this is ordering with Tawheed. When Allah said, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ إِلَّا إِيَّاهِ, that your Lord has legislated you do not worship anybody else besides Him, He is ordering with At-Tawheed. This is the first type. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Oh Allah, You alone we worship, You alone we seek help from. This is At-Tawheed. This is the order of Tawheed. The second type of ayah is an ayah in which Allah forbids the opposite of At-Tawheed, meaning Ash-Shirk. So in those ayat in which Allah forbade Ash-Shirk, then He's talking about the opposite of At-Tawheed, second type of ayah. The third type of ayah are those ayat which Allah mentions the reward for the people of At-Tawheed. So when Allah mentions the people of Jannah, and when Allah mentions the messengers and the prophets and the people who followed them, they were the people of At-Tawheed. And Allah mentions how He rewarded and honored those people. So this is the third type of ayah. An ayah in which Allah mentions how He rewards the people of Tawheed. The fourth type of ayah is the ayah in which Allah mentions how He punishes those people who opposed At-Tawheed. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about the people who disobeyed Nuh alayhi salam and Ibrahim alayhi salam and Bani Israel and the followers of Fir'aun and the mushrikun of Al-Quraysh, and the people of Ad and Thamud and all of these nations that Allah mentioned, all of them opposed At-Tawheed. So this is the fourth type of ayah. And then the fifth type of ayah, Ibn al-Qayyim says, is حقوق التوحيد ومكملاته, is the perfection of Tawheed and the rights of Tawheed, meaning worship. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about zakah, or fasting, or salah, or hajj, or obeying Allah and His Messenger, He talks about anything like this, then this is from the perfection of At-Tawheed. And this is from the rights of Tawheed upon a person. And every single ayah in the Quran fits into one of these five categories. And therefore, every single ayah in the Quran is regarding Tawheed, relating Tawheed. And this shows the ignorance of those people who criticize the da'wah to Tawheed and then they say, why don't you turn another page of the Quran? As if only one page of the Quran is Tawheed and then there's another page of the Quran which does not mention At-Tawheed. Rather, as I mentioned, every single page of the Quran there's a mention of At-Tawheed directly. Otherwise, every single ayah relates to At-Tawheed directly or indirectly. Also, the reason why we study At-Tawheed is because of how dangerous it is to not know At-Tawheed. Allah said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ. Allah does not forgive that shirk is made to Him, partners associated to Him, in Surah An-Nisa. And shirk is the opposite of tawheed. So if you don't understand tawheed, how can you understand a shirk? Maybe you're falling into shirk, and because you don't understand tawheed and shirk, you don't even know you're falling into a shirk. Also, from the reasons why we study tawheed, which were not mentioned, is because the shafa'a of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam on Yawm al-Qiyamah is only for the people of at-tawheed. So the people of shirk, they will never ever attain the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam on Yawm al-Qiyamah. May Allah make us from those people who attain his shafa'a. And the evidence of this is the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, or Abu Huraira said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, من أسعد الناس بشفاعتك يوم القيامة. O Messenger of Allah, who are the people who will be deserving or rejoicing with your intercession on the day of resurrection? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, من قال لا إله إلا الله خالصا من قلبي. Whoever said لا إله إلا الله with sincerity from his heart. And the only people who say لا إله إلا الله with sincerity are the people of التوحيد. So subhanAllah, consider the irony or the misguidance that people are committing shirk in the name of attaining the shafa'ah of the Prophet. And yet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said that the only people who will attain my shafa'ah are the people of at-tawheed. Meaning, on the day of resurrection, there will be amongst us, amongst the people of iman and tawheed, people who have sinned. And maybe some of them even have done the major sins, but they remained as people of at-tawheed. These people, they will be deserving to be entered into the fire. But because of the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they will not enter into the fire and they will enter into al-Jannah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam will seek forgiveness from Allah for some of the people of at-tawheed. Also, from the reasons why we should study at-tawheed is that whoever dies upon tawheed enters Jannah. Like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, من مات من كان آخر كلامه لا إله إلا الله دخل الجنة. He said, whoever's final words are لا إله إلا الله, he will enter into Jannah. The meaning of whoever's last words are لا إله إلا الله is not just saying the word, rather that you've lived the words and you understand these words. And لا إله إلا الله is كلمة التوحيد. It is the phrase of التوحيد. Also, from the reason why we study Tawheed is because a person who doesn't implement Tawheed in this dunya, he will not be from the people of Tawheed in the Akhirah. A person who doesn't learn and study and implement and give da'wah to Tawheed in this dunya, then he will not be from the people of Tawheed in the Akhirah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, إِنَّهُ مَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ, that whoever commits shirk with Allah, فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ, then Allah makes Jannah forbidden for him. وَمَأْوَاهُ النَّارِ, and his final abode is the fire. وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارِ, and the oppressors will have no helpers on يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. So in this ayah Allah said, whoever ascribes partners to Allah, Allah makes Jannah forbidden for him. Allah makes him from the people of the fire, and he will now have no helpers on the day of resurrection. Also, from the reasons why we study at-tawheed is because it is the greatest type of ibadah. Tawheed is the greatest form of ibadah. More virtuous than salah, more virtuous than hajj, more virtuous than zakah, at-tawheed first before anything. And also we study tawheed because this is the very first command of the Quran. If you look at the mushaf, if you recite from Surah Al-Fatiha to Surah Al-Nas, the very first command in the Mus'haf is Ya Yuhannasu Ubudu Rabbakum. O people, worship your Lord, the one who created you. This is the first command in Surah Al-Baqarah, in the third or fourth page. And the first prohibition in the Quran is Fala taj'alu lillahi andadan wa antum ta'lamun. And do not ascribe partners to Allah and you know, in the same ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah. So look in the Mus'haf, the first command is the command to At-Tawheed. And the first prohibition is a prohibition from a shirk. Also, one of the reasons why we study at-tawheed is that shirk is the worst sin. The worst type of oppression is a shirk. And that's why Luqman al-Hakim, when he advised his son, He said, Ya bunayya la tushrik billah, inna shirka la dhulmun azeem. O my son, do not perform shirk. Do not ascribe partners to Allah. Why? Because shirk is the greatest form of dhulm, oppression. Because you are oppressing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, from the reasons why we study at-tawheed is because no action is accepted by Allah without at-tawheed. So there are two conditions for your ibadah to be accepted. The first of them is you have to be upon tawheed. The second of them is you have to follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if your ibadah is not upon tawheed, then it is not accepted. If a person prays salah all his life and performs many hajj and gives much in charity, and then he didn't know about tawheed, he was ascribing partners to Allah, then nothing is accepted from him. In fact, more than this, if a person did so many years of ibadah upon tawheed and then he did one single act of shirk, all of his actions are void. All of his actions are lost. Allah said, لَإِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ وَلَتَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. He said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, وَلَقَدْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ. It has been revealed to you. وَإِلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ. And it has been revealed to those who came before you. لَإِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ. If you do any action of shirk, لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ. Then all of your actions will be lost. وَلَتَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. And then you will be from the losers. Why? Because you have made years and years of sacrifice. You have given your wealth. You have given your time. You have given your energy in worshipping Allah. And then you do a single act of shirk, and then all of your actions are lost. Also, one of the reasons why we study At-Tawheed is because this is the call of every single prophet and every single messenger. This is why every single prophet and messenger was sent to the people to teach At-Tawheed. Allah said, وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا. We have sent a messenger to every single nation saying what? أَنِعْبَدُ اللَّهُ وَاشْتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوتِ. They should worship Allah alone and you should avoid the false deities. Also, from the reasons why we study At-Tawheed is because Tawheed is the aqeedah of the greatest people who walked upon this earth. The prophets and the messengers from Nuh alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, to our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, all of them, they call to At-Tawheed. Allah said regarding Ibrahim alayhi salam, مَا كَانَ يَهُودِيًّا وَلَا نَصْرَانِيًّا. That Ibrahim was not Yahudi and he was not Nasrani, walakin kana hanifan. Rather, he was hanif, Musliman, a person who submitted himself to Allah. Wama kana min al-mushrikeen, and he was not from the people of ash-shirk. So being hanifan and being Muslim is the opposite to being a mushrik. Also, from the reasons why we study and teach and call to tawheed is because our beloved Prophet, he began his da'wah with at-tawheed. And then the 13 years he spent in Makkah were all calling to At-Tawheed. And then the 10 years in Medina, he continued calling to At-Tawheed. And then even on his deathbed, the last words which he said was regarding At-Tawheed. He said, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ الْيَهُودُ وَالنَّصَارَى اتَّخَذُوا قُبُورَ أَنْبِيَائِهِمْ الْمَسَاجِدِ. May the curse of Allah be upon Al-Yahud wal-Nasara, because they took the graves of their prophets to be places of worship. Look, he warned against Ash-Shirk. And he called to At-Tawheed. And he was upon his deathbed. And people make a mistake in da'wah. Sometimes they say, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he called to Tawheed for 10 years in Makkah. No, all of his life he called to At-Tawheed. The difference is in Makkah, he only called to Tawheed and nothing else. But then 3 years after that, he continued calling to Tawheed. And then 10 years in Medina, he continued calling to At-Tawheed. And even on his deathbed, when everybody had accepted Islam, then he continued calling to At-Tawheed. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he never left the da'wah to At-Tawheed. And this also shows you an ignorance of some of the people. They say that, okay, when the Prophet was in Mecca giving da'wah to the non-Muslims, to the people of shirk, he was calling to At-Tawheed. You people, you are in the mosques of the people of Tawheed and you keep teaching At-Tawheed. Rather, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he established his own state in Medina, he continued calling to At-Tawheed. And when he was on his deathbed, and around him were Aisha, wa Salaman, Abu Bakr, and Umar, meaning the best of the people of Tawheed, he still continued calling to Tawheed. And he warned against Ash-Shirk. Also, from the reasons why we call to Tawheed, that there is nothing which purifies the heart and rectifies a person's body like At-Tawheed. And this also shows you the ignorance of some of the people. They say, why are your lessons always about at-tawheed? What about tazkiyatun nafs? What about the purification of the soul? The soul cannot be purified without at-tawheed. So we have to call to at-tawheed. Also, one of the reasons why we study tawheed is because a person's sins are forgiven and expiated because of at-tawheed. So it is hoped that us sitting and studying and calling tawheed will be a reason why our other sins are forgiven by Allah. Also, because tawheed, it brings tranquility to the heart. And Allah said in the Quran, وَمَنْ يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِ قَلْبَهِ, that whoever has iman in Allah, and iman in Allah is at-tawheed, then Allah guides his heart. So the only way for the heart to be guided and to find tranquility is in iman in Allah. Also, from the reasons why we study tawheed, and this is important, is because tawheed can be forgotten. When we studied, for example, the rulings of Tahara, now, if we were to just ask each other now about some of the rulings of Tahara which we studied a while ago, most of us will have forgotten it. Or even the rulings of Salah, or even the rulings of Ramadan. Before Ramadan, we did a series of seminars about the fiqh of Ramadan. Now, if we were to go over them, we would have forgotten them. If you memorized 10 hadith or 40 hadith maybe a month ago, if you were to ask about them now, maybe you've forgotten them. Like this, at-tawheed. So just as a person can sometimes forget fiqh, forget the rulings of tafsir, forget the hadith which is memorized, a person can also forget at-tawheed and the rulings of at-tawheed and the evidences of at-tawheed. So we have to continuously revise and memorize and study at-tawheed. Also, from the reasons why we study at-tawheed is because the thing which a person should fear most upon himself and his children is not that they might drink alcohol, or they might abandon the salah, or they might disobey me, or they might commit zina, na'udhu billah. The greatest thing you should fear upon your children is that maybe they will commit shirk. Maybe they will leave at-tawheed and worship idols. And this was the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam. وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ جَعَلَ هَذَا الْبَلَدَ آمِنًا. When Ibrahim said to his father, to his Lord, oh my Lord, make this city, I Mecca, a place of safety. And then he said, وَاجْنُبْنِي وَبَنِيَّا نَعْبُدَ الْأَصْنَامِ, and save me and my children from worshipping the idols. Look, Ibrahim alayhi salam, and he is Khalilur Rahman. He is the most beloved friend of the most merciful. And his son is Ismail alayhi salam, another great prophet of Allah. And they were the people who built the Kaaba. They were the people who placed the first stone for the Kaaba. And yet despite this, what is the dua which they make? وَجْنُبْنِي وَبَنِيَّا نَعْبُدُ الْأَصْنَامِ. Oh Allah, save me and my children from worshipping the idols. So if this is Ibrahim alayhi salam, and he is Abu al-Anbiya, the father of all of the prophets and the messengers, and he's the imam of the people of Tawheed, and his son is Ismail alayhi salam, and he's worried about his son falling into the worshipping of idols, then who are you and me who have children to not worry for them that they may worship the idols? So the greatest dua you have to make is that Allah saves you and your children from worshipping the idols. And for this reason, some of the Salaf, they said, مَنْ بَعْدَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ يَأْمَنَ الْفِتْنَةَ, that who after Ibrahim alayhi salam can ever feel safe from a shirk? If Ibrahim alayhi salam did not feel safe from shirk for himself and his children, then who after him from us can ever feel safe from a shirk for ourselves and our children? So this dua you should memorize. Allahumma ajnubni wa bunayya na'bud al-asnam. O Allah, save me and my children from worshipping the idols. Ala kulli hal, there are many, many reasons why we should study at-tawheed, and these reasons which I mentioned are some of the reasons which a person should study at-tawheed. And incidentally, brothers, whilst we're saying these things, you need to be writing down, because tomorrow you might need to give da'wah to your family, and these notes you should have in front of you so you can understand and teach them why we should study at-tawheed. The second introduction is, we understand why we should study tawheed. Why should we study these treaties? These ones which I mentioned, the three fundamental principles, Al-Qua'id Al-Arba, Al-Usul Al-Sita, Al-Nawaqid Al-Islam. Why these treaties? And this is the second question in your workbook. The reality is that there is no one way of studying the Quran and the Sunnah. There is no one way or one methodology. And different scholars of different lands and different areas, they teach Tawheed in different ways, using different methods and using different treaties. However, these particular treaties, they have a distinction which many other books and many other treaties do not have. First of all, you have to understand why Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimullah, why he wrote these treaties. He was living in a time, in an area, Najd, like what we see today in Pakistan and India and Bangladesh and Yemen and Egypt and Morocco and these areas, in which people are worshipping the people in the grave, slaughtering in the name of jinn and awliya. They are making tawaf around the deceased. They are wearing ta'weed. They are worshipping trees, hoping in good luck and having superstitions and all of these things. This same environment, which many of our Muslim countries are upon, this the same environment in which Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimullah was born. So when he saw this environment, he wrote these books and he mentioned these principles. These three principles, these four principles, these six principles, these 10 invalidators of Islam, they are not something which is merely theoretical. One day he just thought of a hypothetical situation and he wrote these principles. No, these mistakes were occurring in his time. In order for him to guide the people away from these mistakes, he mentioned these principles. And these same principles apply to us and our Muslim communities. So if a person understands these principles and memorizes them and understands the evidences, when it comes to dealing with your community and your family members, then you have with you evidences and you have with you a good methodology to deal with them. So for example, Al-Qua'id Al-Arba'a, the four fundamental principles. A person could give a whole lecture on them. A person could give a khutbah on them. If somebody comes to you and says to you, I'm not worshipping the person in the grave, I'm only using him as a wasila. If you know these four principles, step by step you can remove the doubts from this person. And this is what Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab did with these treaties. The Arabian Peninsula, bifadlillah, they were guided to Tawheed with these principles and these books and this da'wah with the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these principles which we're going to mention, they're not something which is only theoretical or hypothetical. Rather, it is real and practical, and da'wah is given through these principles. Also, we study them because of the style in which the author wrote them. They are very concise, very few words, very, very clear, laid out very well, and he mentions in points which are very, very important. Many of the books which are written nowadays, there are pages and pages of words, but maybe only very little benefit in them. From the books of Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, Al-Qua'id Al-Arba, I think is maybe only 3 or 4 pages, all of it. Al-Usul Al-Thalatha, 3 or 4 pages. Al-Qua'id Al-Arba, it is maybe 1 page. Al-Usul Al-Sitta, maybe 3 pages. Nawaqid Al-Islam, maybe it's 11 lines. So he hasn't filled this book with many words. Small, concise treaties. But every single line is an important point. Every single principle is very, very important. Also, he mentions evidences with every single point he makes. You will see when we go through them, every single point, every single principle, he will say, وَالدَّلِيلُ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى. And the evidence is the saying of Allah, and then he will mention an evidence. Also, why we should study these treaties? Because these treaties, studying them has produced mountains of knowledge. The great scholars that you hear of today, like Sheikh Ibn Baz and Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen and Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan and Sheikh Abdul Muhsin al-Abbad and Sheikh Ibn Jibreen, and these great scholars that we hear of, and before them the grandsons of Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab and many other scholars, they were produced by studying these types of treaties. If you look at their biographies, they mentioned that the first they studied Usul al-Thalatha. They memorized it in Arabic. They studied it, then they taught it. And Al-Qua'id al-Arba. And then simple treaties in fiqh, simple treaties in hadith, and like this. These same treaties, by the will of Allah, they changed the nations. So, look, here we are today, 2018, in a small town in Nelson, and we are studying the works of somebody who died over 315 years ago in a small town, in a village, in a desert in Najd. And this shows the barakah which Allah has placed in his words. And look, these masajid which are here, the masajid of Ahl al-Hadith, after the guidance of Allah, they are because of the da'wah of Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah. After the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the efforts of the rest of the ulama. So these are some of the reasons why we should study these treaties. The fourth question is, and there's place at the book at the back of your workbooks to make notes. What is the meaning of at-tawheed? Before we start going through these treaties, what is the meaning of at-tawheed? And what is the difference between tawheed and aqeedah? Because sometimes people confuse between at-tawheed and al-aqeedah. So tawheed linguistically in the Arabic language, tawheed linguistically in the Arabic language, it means to make something one. This is the meaning of tawheed in the Arabic language. From the verb wahada, yuwahidu tawheedan, to make something one or to unify something. This is the meaning of tawheed in the Arabic language. So we say, for example, tawheedul ummah, the ummah being united and one and unified. We say, for example, tawheed as-saf, for the saf, the row inside, to have tawheed, meaning to be straight and united together, not any gaps between the people. The meaning of tawheed in the study of Islam, what does it mean? It is ifradullah bi kulli ma yakhtassu bihi. It is to single out Allah in every exclusive right of His. This is the meaning of at-tawheed. Ifradullah bi kulli ma yakhtassu bihi. To single out Allah in every quality which is unique to Him. This is the meaning of at-tawheed. Ifradullah bi kulli ma yakhtassu bihi. To single out Allah in everything which is exclusive to Him. And I'll explain this. When we say we have to single out Allah in everything which is exclusive to Him, then the things which are exclusive to Allah are one of three things. And these three things which I mentioned are called the categories of at-tawheed. So we have to single out Allah in rububiyyah, and we have to single out Allah in uluhiyyah, and we have to single out Allah in al-asma wa sifat. We'll explain each one. So we have to single out Allah in rububiyyah. What does this mean? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has certain actions, and these actions are exclusive and unique to Allah alone. So for example, the action of Allah that He creates. Does anybody besides Allah create creation from non-existence? Only Allah. So this action, al-khalq, that Allah creates, this is unique and exclusive to Allah. So tawheed means you have to single out Allah that He is the only creator. This is tawheed rububiyyah. Is there anybody else besides Allah who controls life and death? Only Allah. This is one of the actions of Allah. He gives life to whoever He wants. He gives death to whoever He wants. He honors whoever He wills. He humiliates whoever He wills. So from tawheed rububiyyah is to single out Allah that He is the only one who gives life, who gives death, who honors, who humiliates. So if one amongst us believes that there's somebody else besides Allah who gives life and gives death or controls life and death, this is shirk in ar-rububiyyah. Allah is al-malik. He is the owner of everything. He is the king of everything. So therefore, al-mulk, this is from the actions of Allah, and this is from tawheed ar-rububiyyah. Unlike this, He is the one who controls everything. He is the one who decrees everything. All of this comes under tawheed ar-rububiyyah. So tawheed ar-rububiyyah is to single out Allah in all of His exclusive actions. Every action which is unique to Allah, like creating al-khalq and al-rizq, giving sustenance, and al-mulk, owning, and everything else, this is tawheed ar-rububiyyah. Then the second category of tawheed is tawheed al-uluhiyyah. Tawheed al-uluhiyya, we as people, we as Muslims, we have to do certain actions, i.e. ibadat. In all of these actions, who is deserving of this action? Allah alone. And this is Tawheed al-uluhiyya. So Tawheed al-uluhiyya means to single out Allah in His right to worship. To single out Allah in His right to worship. So for example, when you make dua, you only make dua to Allah. This is Tawheed al-uluhiyya. You believe only Allah has the right to my dua. And when you make dhabh, when you slaughter an animal, you have to slaughter in the name of Allah. Your love has to be purely for the sake of Allah. Your fear, you cannot fear anybody more than your fear of Allah. You cannot love anybody like your love of Allah. You cannot place your reliance upon anybody like your reliance upon Allah. All of this is Tawheed al-uluhiyya. The third category of Tawheed is Tawheed al-asma wa sifat. To single out Allah in all of His unique names and attributes. So our Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has certain beautiful names. And He has certain descriptions and characteristics. And He has certain actions. We have to single out Allah in these names and attributes. Meaning, Tawheed al-asma wa sifat means you have to affirm every name and every attribute which Allah found for Himself in His book or in the sunnah of the Prophet. You have to negate from Allah every name, every attribute which He negated from Himself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He called Himself Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. You have to affirm one of the names of Allah is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us in the Quran that one of His actions is He ascended above the heavens. So from Tawheed is believing that Allah is above the heavens. If a person believes Allah is everywhere, this is a deficiency in a Tawheed. We believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He descends to the lowest heaven in the last third of the night, like is in the authentic hadith. We believe that the believers will see Allah on Yawm al-Qiyamah like they can see a clear moon on a clear night. All of this is from a Tawheed. So to summarize, Tawheed generally, linguistically, it means to single something out, to unify something, to unite something. This is the meaning of وَحَّدَ يُوَحِّدُ تَوْحِيدًا. When we study Tawheed Islamically, it means إِفْرَادُ اللَّهِ بِكُلِّ مَا يَخْتَصُ بِهِ, to single out Allah in everything which is unique and exclusive to Him. Tawheed is three types or three categories. Tawheed al-Rububiyya. Tawheed al-Rububiyya is ifradullah fi af'ali, is to single out Allah in His unique actions. That He is the creator, He creates. We have to single out Allah, He's the only creator. He's the true sustainer. He's the true provider. He's the true owner of the dunya. He's the controller of the affairs. In His hands is life. In His hands is death. We have to single out Allah in this belief. This is called Tawheed al-Rububiyya. To single out Allah in His actions. Ifradullah fi af'alihi. Then the second type of Tawheed is Tawheed al-Uluhiyya. And Tawheed al-Uluhiyya is Ifradullah fi af'al al-Ibad. That we have to single out Allah in our actions. Our actions of dua, our actions of tawakkul, our actions of loving and fearing, our actions of hoping, and salah, and zakah, and tawaf, and dhabh. All of these we have to single out Allah. This is Tawheed al-Uluhiyya. To single out Allah in our actions that He is deserving of our worship. The third type of Tawheed is Tawheed al-Asma wa sifat. To single out Allah in every unique name and attribute which He has. You have to affirm what Allah affirmed for Himself, and you have to negate what Allah negated from Himself. What is the difference between Tawheed and Aqeedah? Aqeedah is much more general. So Tawheed, all of it is only about Allah. In Tawheed, we only study about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for Aqeedah, many other things are studied. So for example, part of Aqeedah is the study regarding the angels. Part of Aqeedah is the other pillars of Iman. Al-Imanu bil-Malaika, Al-Imanu bil-Kutub, Al-Imanu bil-Rusul, Al-Imanu bil-Yawm al-Akhir. Now, all of this is in Aqeedah, but it is not strictly a part of At-Tawheed. Also, a part of Aqeedah, we study, for example, the signs before the Day of Judgment. We study regarding Dajjal, regarding the descending of Isa alayhi salam. In Aqeedah, we study the exaltation and the honoring of the Sahaba. In Aqeedah, we study some of the deviated sects. In Aqeedah, we study the rights of the rulers and the Khawarij and the other deviated sects. So Aqeedah is much more general. The study of Tawheed is more specific. The study of Tawheed is Al-Imanu Billah. The first pillar of Iman, this is the study of Al-Tawheed. The other pillars of Iman and the other issues which are studied, all of that is generally Al-Aqeedah. And then the final issue that we need to study, the final question is, and it is in your workbooks, is who was Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah, the author of these treaties? And he was Al-Imam Al-Mujaddid, Shaykh al-Islam, Abu al-Husayn. His kunya was Abu al-Husayn. Muhammad, his name was Muhammad. The name of his father was Abdul Wahhab. The name of his grandfather was Sulaiman. And he's At-Tamimi. He's from the tribe of At-Tamim. And there's a particular point why I mention which tribe he is from, At-Tamim. You find the Sufiya and those people who oppose the Dawah of At-Tawheed, many of them, they mention weak narrations regarding the Dawah of Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimullah. And they mention false stories about him. But what many people don't know is there is also an authentic hadith regarding the tribe of At-Tamim. And Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, he is from Bani Tamim. He was from the tribe of At-Tamim. And this hadith, it is in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim. Meaning the most authentic hadith, muttafaqun alayh, agreed upon by Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim. Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu said, لا أزال أحب بني تميم من ثلاث سمعتهن من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول. Abu Hurairah said, and the hadith is in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, he said, I will never stop loving Bani Tamim due to three qualities which I heard from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. The first of them, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, أشد أمتي على الدجال بني تميم, that the most severe enemies of Dajjal will be the people of Bani Tamim. This tribe, Bani Tamim, from which is Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, they will be the people who oppose and fight against Dajjal, the most severe. Second thing, Abu Hurairah mentions, جاءت صدقاتهم, that one day when the Prophet was alive, the zakah from Bani Tamim, it came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, هذه صدقات قومنا, that this is the sadaqah, the charity of our people, of my people. So he called Banu Tamim my people. And the third reason, he said, Abu Hurairah, كانت سبية منهم عند عائشة, that Aisha radiallahu anha, she had with her a slave or a housemaid from Bani Tamim. This girl, she was Tamimiyah, she was from Bani Tamim. فقال له رسول الله, so the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said to her, اعتقيها فإنها من ولد إسماعيل. He said, free her because she is from the children of Ismail. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he described Bani Tamim, and from them is Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, as being from the children of Ismail عليه السلام. So of course, these three characteristics, they are general for Bani Tamim. We don't say that these were revealed regarding Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab. No. They are generally for the people of Iman and for the people of Tawheed from Bani Tamim. There may be disbelievers from Bani Tamim. There may be people of shirk from Bani Tamim. But the people of Iman and the people of Tawheed from Bani Tamim, then by the permission of Allah, this hadith in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, it applies to them. He was born in Al-Uyayna. And Al-Uyayna is an area or a town in Saudi Arabia now. Allah knows best, but perhaps it was called Uyayna because of the Sahabi who went there and called them to Al-Islam. And I think his name was Uyayna ibn Husayn. His name was Uyayna ibn Husayn. He gave da'wah to the people. Allah knows best. Perhaps, Allahu A'lam, the area was named Uyayna after him. And Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, he was born 115 Hijri. And this is 1703 from the Gregorian calendar, meaning 315 years before now. So Imam Muhammad ibn Wahhab, he came just over 300 years previous to us. And he, to summarize, he had a righteous upbringing. His father was a great qadi, he was a judge at that time. And his grandfather Suleiman was also from the great fuqaha of that time. And also his mother was from a family of scholars from the area of Uyayna and Najd. They pushed him to seeking knowledge when he was very young. By 10, he had already memorized the Quran. And there's a fact that I often mentioned to some of my younger students in the class, that when he was 12, his father married him off. When Imam Muhammad ibn Wahhab was 12 years old, he was already married. Also, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Wahhab, he traveled to many areas to seek knowledge. He traveled to Mecca and Medina, in which he met a famous scholar from Sindh called Sheikh Muhammad Hayat al-Sindhi. And he taught him knowledge. And also he traveled to the other areas of Hijaz. He traveled to Basra in Iraq. He traveled to Ahsa. He traveled various lands in order to seek knowledge. And he has many famous students. And nowadays, if you hear this name, Al-Sheikh, like Sheikh Abdulaziz, Al-Sheikh, or Sheikh Salih, Al-Sheikh. Al-Sheikh, it means the family of the Sheikh. And the Sheikh meaning Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimullah. So any scholar you hear today, and at the end of his name is Al-Sheikh. Like the teacher of Sheikh bin Baz, his name was Sheikh Muhammad ibn Ibrahim, Al-Sheikh. It means that he is from the descendants of Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimullah. And this is why if amongst the Saudi scholars, if they say, Qal al-Imam, the Imam said. Or if they say, Qala Shaykh, the Shaykh said, then it refers to Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah. Also, he wrote many treatises, many books, some of them we are aware of. And the story is mentioned how he was exiled from his area, then he went to another area, then Uyayna, then he was exiled from there, then he went to Dir'iyah, then in Dir'iyah he found a famous leader called Muhammad ibn Sa'ud. Muhammad ibn Sa'ud was an imam at that time, and they came together, and they started giving da'wah, and then slowly they took over the various towns, and the da'wah spread before the Allah Ta'ala. So this is a very, very summarized biography of the author of these treaties, Al-Imam Al-Mujaddid, Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimullah. We'll suffice for that with this lesson, inshallah. And in the next lesson, we'll go through the first treaties. Brothers, some of you today didn't have pens with you, so bring pens with you next week. Look after these as well, because they cost. It costs the masjid and it costs the brothers to print books like this. Also, those things which you haven't written, the lesson will be on medina.com. So take some time out, go through the lesson, make notes, and before the next lesson, we'll revise them together bi-idhnillah. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam.